Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into Defining Kinks Season 2. I'm so excited that you are here, more excited that I'm pushing through with Season 2. I'm excited for everything that I have coming this season, but today I'm most excited of all for this episode as it discusses what I think is a super essential part of sex. We're talking about foreplay, and I have the very patient and very grand Dutch Dude Kinks of Reddit with me today as my guest. Thank you for joining on my podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
A few times, huh?
This is not twice, I think.
Yeah, this is twice. Yeah. The joys of technology and my sporadicness. We've done this before, so just like riding a bike, we're going to jump back into it. So I actually want to start it out with a quote that I came across. And what the quote actually says is, "With torture, as with making love, foreplay is the all-important factor."
That's morbid.
It is a little morbid, but I think the part that I liked, that it is morbid and it's a little dark. It makes foreplay seem a little foreboding. But I think for me, it's a good kind of torture and tease, I guess. I'm all about the slow burn tease, so I guess that's why the quote appealed to me. So
no, I do think that even as creepy as it is, that quote is right on the money. Yeah, preparation is important. What can I say?
Yeah, it's effective. It gets the message across, right? Yeah, no, because you think about torture and you're like, oh, and then you're like, well, I mean, technically, it's kind of essential part. It's, it reminded me, the quote also reminded me, I don't know if you've ever seen The Dark Knight, Chris Nolan's Batman.
Of course I have.
Okay, most people have, but I don't want to assume. Like the Joker, when he's sitting there and he's like slams his head, and the Joker's like, "You never do that first," he goes, "they won't be able to fill a thing after." He goes, "You moved in too quickly, you know." And then the next time he like hits his hand, and then the Joker's like, "See, nothing." So it reminded me of that, of like, if you just wham bam slam in there to like the end game, then, you know, it's not as effective, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe it's just the nerd.
You're not going to get a second call.
Yeah, right. Right. No, exactly. Probably heard this quote. But sex without foreplay is like going down a water slide without water, which does sound
like
torture.
It's doable, but not something I'd recommend.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
How is it that the torture metaphor is more easily explainable?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, like in my head, I'm thinking, well, that's easy. Everybody, you know, they can imagine torture and things like that. I'm just thinking most people can't imagine water slides without water. Like, I don't think it would be pleasant, but exactly. So, yeah. So I guess that I think that's kind of still illustrated, though, like how essential foreplay is. I'm going to use the word essential because I don't really think that sex should be without some degree of foreplay. So what do you think?
Yeah, pretty much the same. You do need, of course, it kind of depends on the moon and such, but sometimes, yeah, you do need a bit more preparation than others at sometimes.
Yeah, I think sometimes. Yeah, I think sometimes you do like all the bells and whistles of foreplay.
The candles, the rose petals.
Yeah, I'm laughing because that is so not my vibe. But it's true. Some people like to
the boombox outside your house.
Yeah, the boom. Yeah, see, it's probably more my thing. Just out in the yard, trench coat and a boombox. That's foreplay for me. It's also a lawsuit. I don't know. That's cops getting called for some people. Oh, man. But sometimes you do all those bells and whistles, and then sometimes it's just a little bit like a 5 minutes of just like dirty talk that gets like hot and heavy so quick. You know, it really just depends on what really gets your buttons going and what sort of sexual vibe you're going for that day or that session. Everybody's like super different about it.
Yeah, I heard someone once compare it to like one of those big mixing boards that you find in like a studio. It's just like all these buttons, knobs, and whatever, and it's all about just which one of them need to be even slightly adjusted to get going. And it's a very odd metaphor, I know, but it kind of works.
I think it does, like, because I guess when I think, like how we said it, it depends on the mood of the situation. To me, there's like different genres of music, and I choose my music based on my mood. Like, you know, so that just happens to work like that. It's kind of an odd metaphor, but at the same time, for me, it works because I'm like, some days I like light and bouncy and playful music. Some days I like it like huge and heavy and like hard rock and intense. And then some days I just like it really light and relaxing. And I think like sex can have definitely different modes, but all of them can have their own flavor of like foreplay.
Yeah, that doesn't quite work for me, because when I pick my music during the day, it's like, okay, do I want this to soundtrack a light torture session or a violent disemboweling?
Oh gosh, no, that's not good. That's not good at all. I mean, no, it's good. Everybody has their thing, but you're just like, I just need this. Oh no, that's.
Do I want my music to make me slightly perturbed? Or just royally pissed off? That's just the kind of music I listen to.
You know, that's fair. That's fair. Everybody listens to music differently and stuff. But I do like that, like the idea of like the mixer board and stuff like that. Because I do stage stuff, so I think of the light and sound boards for stage too. So just a lot of different elements that you can just pull in.
Very, very delicate, very need to be tailored to the situation.
Oh yeah, definitely. No, like for sure. They need to be tailored to the situation. Like how you said that, you know, they're all different. I mean, I know in the kink community they call them scenes or sessions, you know, even if you're talking about long-term partners. So yeah, it's like that. Going back to the torture, because that quote does captivate me a little bit. We've established that foreplay is essential and it should be done. In your opinion, why is it essential? Like, you know, why are we, what are the cons of, I know you said you won't get a call back, but what are the cons of just like jumping in and going for sex?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a con, but more of a lack of a pro, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
It's because good foreplay can really, well, I guess you can kind of call it a con. Good foreplay can really enhance the general experience, and none, or even worse, bad foreplay can absolutely ruin it.
That's true. It can. Like a mood killer.
let's be honest. We all have some stories about incredibly unsexy things.
Mm-hmm. This is true. And like now in my head, I'm just like trying to go through, like, I'm like, when was the last time, you know, that was like bad experience or, you know, bad foreplay and stuff like that.
What's the unsexiest thing anyone has ever told me?
Yeah, I don't know. I think like my thing is it's been like
mismatch.
Yeah. A mismatch of kinks, you know, or thinking the wrong ones. Like if somebody, like I'm like into the whole daddy kink a little bit, just a little bit. I'm into that, but then some people approach daddy kink in a different way. So it's kind of like DDLG. A lot of people approach that differently than others. So it's kind of like that. So, but that's why you should communicate. That really doesn't have a whole lot to do with foreplay. That's a communication error.
No, I'd argue that foreplay and communication are pretty deeply intertwined, actually.
Because okay. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, good foreplay requires you have a good knowledge of your partner, what they like, what they don't like, and what really pushes their buttons, so to speak. And the best way to find that out, the not hard way, that is to talk, is to ask, all that business.
So would you say like that's probably a hugely underrated part of foreplay, is like communication and using it to further unlock your partner and things you know about them?
I wouldn't call it necessarily a core part of foreplay itself, but more of a more an important side activity, so to speak.
Kind of like a little runoff, like on the side. Foreplay, it can enhance the mood. It can just add on. We've said that bad foreplay can really kill the mood, and it can. So are there cons to foreplay in itself? Like, or is there moments where it's not essential, you would think?
No, I wouldn't necessarily say there's cons. And the only place, I think there's exactly one area where I wouldn't call foreplay essential, for kind of obvious reasons. And that's hookups.
Okay.
Simply because hookups are, generally speaking, short-term, more like just, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, kind of affair. So
yeah.
there's not really a lot of, not really a lot of room for foreplay, not just general foreplay, but also just the kind of foreplay that's more tailored to your partner. So that's one area, I think, where I would say that foreplay is not necessarily essential, because just kind of inherent to the situation.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I can totally see that. Because I mean, when it comes to hookup, I mean, the whole point is, I mean, the hookup is for the big show. Like, it's not, you're not trying to like enhance a relationship. You're not trying to go for like, you know, like mind blowing, you know, I mean, yeah, it'd be great if it's fantastic, but I mean, that's not it. It's just like, hey, we're here for the big O, you know, or to blow off some steam or whatever and stuff. Let's just hook up and let's just go for it.
Yeah, to keep with the stage area, let's skip the opening bands and just go for the headliner.
Yeah, exactly. It's just all like, this is our, you know, we're leaving everything at the door. Let's do this. And then afterwards we say goodbye. Yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, it's not really conducive. You know, foreplay is not really conducive to that situation. And it doesn't really kind of work out in that way, unless that's the arrangement. I know that sometimes that is the arrangement for people, you know, like if they decide to do the whole shebang, or if it's a hookup inside of the kink community or something like that, and you have an arrangement with what's going to go down, you know.
Yeah, but those are very specific situations we're talking about.
Yeah, they're very suspicious. They're not exactly at that point. They're not normal.
Most people would consider hookups. I think.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. They kind of fall out of the hookup scope, and they're more into like the casual exploration wheelhouse. So yeah, maybe foreplay is good for them if that's the arrangement. So sharing time. If not, what is your preferred style of foreplay? What do you think are some of the best styles of foreplay, or what is like one of the best foreplay moves?
Touch, I think, because it's so versatile, you could go pretty much anywhere and in just about any way, and you can find some way to turn it at least mildly sexual.
And it is very like teasing and very, yeah. And like you said, it's versatile. It's so versatile. It really is.
Because a touch can be just something like, it can be kind of platonic. It can be romantic. It can be sexual. And even if you're like out in public, let's say, and you want to signal to your partner like, hey, you know, when we're back home, maybe do something. There are ways you can convey that it's weird. It could be that you can be sexual in public, but not overtly sexual. That's kind of interesting.
It really is. Yeah. And I think a big part of it, which can help it be so, you know, like not overtly sexual, is you know your partner usually in those kind of situations. You know them enough to know what sort of touch could communicate that. And also eyes can communicate that as well. Like the looks you give to accompany these touches. But it's just kind of like something you two know. It's like a little thing.
Yeah, like when are you giving your partner the bedroom eyes? Or yes, when are you giving them the touch? Not just a touch, the touch.
Right? Yeah. Speaking, like, let's just talk about bedroom eyes for a minute. I think it's funny, the term is not hugely used much anymore, but everybody knows that look. I think if you're an adult and you've had sexual experiences and or a relationship where sex was regular, you know that look. It's that look where it's like, you know, we're gonna have sex, you know, or take me to the bedroom right now or wherever is next convenient. I thought about public for a second. I was like, wait a minute. they were in public for a minute. So,
well, I think everyone has some kind of idea of what bedroom eyes look like. Even if you're not, if you haven't had that kind of experience, you at least have some kind of idea of what it looks like. You might not be able to really put your finger on it, how to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody, even if it's just for demonstration, somebody could do that and you could look at that and be like, oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, I think it's definitely a different look. It's its own little vibe. So I get what you're saying. Maybe if they don't know exactly off the top of their head, they would catch on and they'd be like, wait a minute, there's something. This look is different.
Yeah, it's like the old adage about porn and what is or isn't porn. I know it when I see it.
Yeah, I know it when I see it. So yours is touch. I did take a poll with a lot of listeners and things like that. And their thing, a lot of people said like kissing. It was their favorite part. Or, you know, just because they said that it was such an essential part of foreplay, which I guess surprised me because the way they talked about it, it made me think.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, I guess my thing is I remember being like a teenager and making out for like hours on end because, you know, sex was still something you hadn't dabbled in a whole lot. So I guess anytime somebody says making out, I just have flashbacks to being younger when everybody was making out for like hours and I'm like, but no, really, kissing on adult level.
What was that noise?
I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I've never been somebody that can like make out for hours. I know some people love it. Like, I don't know about you, but I just know, like, even grown ass adults, which is nothing wrong with this. I'm not trying to yuck your yums here, but I've never been a person that can just straight up have a make out session for like hours, like some people can. I can do the cuddling, the talking, the pillow talk and things like that. Just like the straight up kissing for hours is just not my thing. So
it's like with a lot of things, it is absolutely not my thing. And I cannot see myself doing it. But I can at least somewhat understand what other people see in it, why other people enjoy it. I think that's the kind of thing that's kind of important in this sort of thing. Not necessarily be into it yourself, but at least kind of understand where they might be coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't see myself ever making out for like hours. But I do understand that some other people, to them, that is just like, yes.
I'm all about, like, I guess if I'm going for like extended, because even like 30 minutes is pushing it for me. But I guess in my head, I just, when I was a teenager and that was a thing, it just so deterred me from like making out and stuff like that. To be honest though, like, when I was younger, I was told I was horrible at making out. So maybe that's why I just feel like the longer you're laughing. No, but it's serious.
No, it's just, aw.
I know. Well,
just,
like,
no, yeah. You were just, that's a mean thing to say.
Yeah, I was like little teen Ruthie. And I was told I was not very good at it by an older boy. And so, like, I guess in my head, like, the longer I make out, the more my partner will be convinced how horrible I am. So I guess it's subliminal in my head, but like, maybe that's why I was so jaded. Like, people are like, we made out for hours. And I'm just like, well, I don't really like making out. So like, maybe that was it. I'm not sure. Maybe that's what it is. I'm not trying to hate, but I guess like lip locking for an extended period of time, just it's never been my thing. But I do love using kiss in other ways in my lips. Like, I love kissing necks and shoulders and collarbones. I love to kiss hands and wrists. I think it's highly underrated. Anything to do with hands, really. I like to playfully nom people, like nom.
Side note, that word sounds so weird when spoken out loud.
Yeah, when spoken, like, yeah. Like written, like, you read it and you're like, oh, I don't know.
Playfully bite, playfully nibble, playfully nom.
Nom. Yeah, no, it's true. Said out loud. I like to nibble and like teeth. Because it's not quite a bite.
As opposed to nibbling, like, with what exactly?
I was just thinking, I like to teeth. And I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound...
good either.
It sounds worse than nom, I think. I like to teeth.
Oh, God.
I don't try to explain what I'm doing with a vernacular, okay? I'm just telling you, I like to use my teeth to playfully effectuate my partners. That's all we're saying. So I could see where the lips, though, is totally something. After that, touch was next, definitely. Like you said, touch is the thing. I'm more about my flavor of foreplay is just it's everything to do with like us, I guess, is my only thing. I know you talked about like the roses and the candles and things like that, which is all right, you know, in my opinion. But some people like that, like the beautiful pageantry. I'm going to use that word, pageantry, of, you know, the visuals. To me, it's a lot to do with like touch and like between us, like what we're saying, the touches we're conveying, things like that. So...
Yeah, well, it's two sides of the same coin, really. It's all about creating the kind of atmosphere. And yeah, you, me too. It's more about the actions. It's what you do to the other person. And for some people, it's more like the environment they're in. You know, the candles, the rose petals. Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye playing in the background, that sort of thing.
Right? I mean, it's true, though. It's true.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's a classic. I mean, it's not a cliche. It's a classic. It's, you know, that's why.
It's certainly better fitting for sex than most of my music, I can tell you that much.
I mean, like, go ahead.
I admire anyone who consider music like, I don't fucking know. I don't know. Cattle decapitation to be foreplay. I mean, I admire whoever does that.
Oh gosh.
Yes.
Yeah, you're like, yes. I mean, I've had some weird stuff playing.
Work.
Yeah, I've had some like weird stuff playing. I guess to me, I'm able to like tune it out some, but yeah, you do have those moments. Like, I have a completely random playlist. And I know one time, oh, I don't know, you've probably heard of them because it's from your side of the world. But I love Ylvis. So like the Ylvis Soccer Brothers.
Mm-mm. No, that doesn't, what kind of music is it?
So they do a lot of parody music, but they are extremely talented. So yeah, no, you'll have to look them up or I'll like link you. So anybody that knows Ylvis though, they became very famous by that song, What Does the Fox Say? Which is my least favorite song of theirs.
Those guys.
Yeah. It's my least favorite song of theirs, to be honest. But they're very talented and they have a TV show and things like that they did. And I love it. And they had this one song that sounds like a West Side Story romance song, but then it starts doing like dubstep in it. And then, I don't know, they just have like all these crazy songs. And so it's funny because one time they came like on the middle of my playlist while I was in the moment with a partner. And it was just like, like I'm usually able to tone it out or whatever, but tune it out. And basically it was a song and it just got wackier and wackier. And like, we both just like had to stop and be like, we have to change this. This is not working. This is killing everything and stuff. And it was pretty funny, but
at least that's a progressive turn of events, so to speak. But you say like they're parody music. I'm envisioning this scenario. Two people, they've got the playlist on, they're trying to get it on, and all of a sudden it goes to the next song, one of Weird Al's polka medleys.
Oh gosh. That would be crazy.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And so it's funny, and this is the reason after that, I never did before, but this is after that that I have playlists. So and don't just let there be a random shuffle. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah, I learned, which is funny because before then, with how eclectic my music is, you thought it would have come up, but it just never happened to come up until then. But it's pretty funny. After that, I was like, yeah, we're gonna have a playlist at least. Yeah, like it doesn't even have to be an overtly sexual playlist, you know, like, because I know some people like to do the, like how you said, Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye, or like Bump and Grind, you know, like there's all those songs out there that definitely are more sex driven. They're sex songs. I mean, that's what they've got the beat. They've got the, you know, the jam. It just depends on how fast or slow you want to go for it. They don't even have to be overtly sexual. Just nothing weird popping up that's going to make you in the moment go, what the fuck are we listening to? Because that will happen. So there's advice for foreplay music. Just have a playlist so you don't get a weird surprise.
That is the only, if you were to ask me about what aspects of foreplay you would really have to put the most planning into, I would probably say that, simply because it is the one most susceptible to being a complete and utter mood killer.
That's very true. Yeah, I was gonna say that. Yeah, because I could do it. It's I know I've had some partners who are very like, they don't want music during sex at all, just because they don't associate the songs with music or with sex, or they don't want to take those songs and associate them with sex, you know, later on. And I'm thinking, I guess, I don't know. So everybody takes music differently, but yeah, if you're going to use that as your mood thing, make sure you've kind of pre-planned.
Well, at least it's a mood killer for the best of reason.
This is true, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's external. Cool. So we've talked about how important touch is, kissing is. I will have to chime in, and maybe you can too, but I think that to me, it seems like there's a no-brainer. It's part of it. But I realize that some people out there, I feel that dirty talk and or just talking, pillow talk, is a highly underrated part of foreplay. Just because.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to me, it's like a no-brainer because of what I do and the content I create. But as I've talked to people more and I've gotten messages from people last season, some of the questions I got the most and the requests that I got were, can you explain dirty talk more? Can you give us examples, et cetera, et cetera? And I was just like, okay, I guess. Like in my head, I was just thinking, but it's just something that
really
was more
you need
practice.
That?
Yeah, I guess that was my thing. Like, I don't want to be like demeaning to anybody, but I guess in my head, but if I really think about it, and other artists that create erotic content, either written or voiced, you know, I think when everybody started out at first, they kind of did feel a little, you know, I think some people are naturals at it. But I think you feel a little shaky and you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm super into this and stuff. And then, or I don't think I can do it. And then just the more you practice, just the way easier it becomes, I think. Or you just kind of learn you gain a penchant for the kind of dirty talk you use, or that's your flavor, I guess.
Yeah, so. I think part of what makes dirty talk such a difficult subject for a lot of people is that it's very dependent on things that are hard to describe. It's very dependent on tone. It's very dependent on inflection. And or both of those are very, they're very much in tune with your voice, your sound, the way you speak. And so trying to match a certain tone, match a certain inflection to your voice when it's not built for your voice, so to speak, can be very difficult, especially when it's like you're trying to go for this tone. Try and say kind of like this, and then you get like a demonstration. But it's that demonstration, that tone is specifically tailored for that kind of voice. So trying to apply it to your own voice with no clear explanation can be a bit daunting. So I think that's why a lot of people find it so difficult.
Yeah, it's, and that's my thing. Like when people ask me for suggestions or like, how do I dirty talk and stuff? I think like every couple or, you know, like it's prevalent on a lot of things. It's hard to explain because I think everybody has like their own, I don't know, tastes when it comes to dirty talk, I guess.
Words and phrases.
Words and phrases, or even that, or like the mood, like definitely. And then like, but I guess that's why when I express it, tonality has a lot to do with it. I mean, you can get very different vibes from, you know, like if you are, I'll go with men, you know, I can listen to, you know, because I've beta listened to audios and things like that and given feedback. I mean, like I have, we help each other. But I've like beta listened and I've listened to a voice, a male voice, give me the same line two different ways. And one way he was very like calm, collected, very controlled, you will listen to me. And then one time, the second time he did it, he was very like growly, possessive, primal, almost authoritative, like just more like you will, you know. And it was just like, I can't growl, so I ain't even gonna try. But he did that. And so I was just thinking both lines were very good and they could have been for like very different scenes. And so like, you know, but I'm just saying like tonality has a lot to do with it. Sometimes some of the strongest dirty talk that can make anybody, you know, like if you're a guy, make you go swing, or a girl, make you go sploosh. Sometimes it's very softly spoken, but it has such intent behind it that, you know, that's all you really needed. You just needed to say it out loud. And, you know, even if you said it really quietly, and sometimes doing that when you're not alone, like we talked about like looks and touches in public that aren't overtly sexual, but you could just say something and it's even softly and they'd be like, yes, I know what they're throwing out at me. So I don't know. I have no good poker face. I'm just thinking about like, I just don't like, I know people are like, oh yeah. I mean like maybe if they're just like touching like my thigh or something like that, like I think under the table and stuff like that, or like in passing, like the trail of a finger, you know, across your lower back or across your shoulder or something like that. Like, you know, but if the, like, if my partner ever says anything flirty, like, or where I know that they overtly are talking about having sex later, or if there weren't people here, they would be having sex with me right now. I am instantly like, I just go, oh, like I'm just so like shocked. So like Southern Belle, I guess. And it's just like, and then people are like, what? And I'm like, nothing, nothing. And then I give my partner the eyes like, you made me look like a fiend. You know? So
it's like some kind of pervert.
Yeah, I know, right? Thank you so much for this, you know, here on Sunday lunch with all the family. Because that's what we do in the South. In case anybody was wondering why all of a sudden the family is there. That's what we do. And so, yeah, no, definitely. But dirty talk is a big one. And I think that's where people get hung up too. You hear dirty and you think you have to be like dropping cuss words or saying like quote unquote nasty things, you know, and stuff or whatever and stuff. You don't have to. It could also be
I think it's because when most people hear dirty talk, their mind kind of goes to what they hear in porn, this is just meant as a general descriptor, not like a condemnation or whatever. It's vulgar. It's not it's not really meant to titillate exactly. It's just it's as blunt as a kick to the bollocks.
Right? Yeah, sometimes it definitely is and stuff like that. I have watched some like cheesy old porn. And it's either so cheesy. Yeah, haven't we all? When we found old porns, it's either so cheesy and ridiculous that you're like, I would never talk like that.
Porn acting is a term for a reason.
It's true. Like it's just so cheesy and ridiculous that you just roll your eyes and stupid. You know, I would never say that or do that. Dirty talk's dumb. Or it's so, like you said, it's so blunt, in your face, you know, whatever. It's just like, oh, you know. So I think people think of those two extremes and they're like, I don't like dirty talk. But really, it's completely catered to whatever your session is, your mode is. So, but I feel it's underrated. Anyways, that was my whole point. I got on a whole tangent because to me, I love dirty talk. I love to feel that connection. I like to feel that they're just like in the moment with me. I like to know that. I like to know that they're feeling good. They're wanting to know that I feel good. They want me to know that I'm connect. You know, it's just like a whole thing for me as far as in the moment and then leading up to it and stuff. That's probably like the one way in which probably I indulge in like the bad porn stuff or like the cheesy porn stuff. Like, I'm just going to be totally honest. I'm like, this whole season, I've thrown myself under the bus. So it is what it is. Why stop now? The train's already rolling. Just jump on board, everybody. But like, I am totally guilty of the dirty talk. So because I do it, you can all do it. Like if he flirts or, you know, like my partner flirts or something and they're like, oh, I think we should have sex later. You know, like, I don't know. Like, it's just so like, oh, should we? You think we should have sex later? Yeah, I think we should. I think, oh yeah, well, what would you do? You know, it's just like, it's just so stupid and cheesy. Like, you know, but at the same time, as you're talking about it and stuff, then
you
finally
start to imagine it.
You start to imagine it. And then you have that one person, either the girl or the guy that loses, or the other, whatever. One of the partners loses their poker face where either they've imagined it so much, they're like, you know, like they give that little whimper of like, do we really have to wait? Or it's the intent one that's perhaps they're the more dominant sexually, or that's what they want the play direction to go. And then they give you that really intense look like, oh yeah, we are. And you're just like, oof, you know, you're like, okay. So that's probably the guilty. And see, like, that's just fun and playful. And then it just kind of crosses over. So, and I think that's like a fun bit of a little exchange for foreplay, dirty talk anyways, in my opinion. And so.
Side note for dirty talk.
Oh, okay.
Don't be, and this is just a general piece of advice. Don't worry. Guys, don't be worried if you don't sound like Barry fucking White. Ladies. Oh, what Christ. What is the good direct comparison for a sexy female voice? Oh. Fucking Jessica Rabbit or something?
Yeah, I was going to say Jessica Rabbit. I know it's bad that we had to go to but I'm just trying to think of like a vamp romantic singer. Yeah, Jessica Rabbit, probably, you know.
Yeah, no, like your voice pitch, so to speak, does not matter as much as you might think. Like,
I get why you said Barry White.
What?
I said, because you said pitch, and now I am imagining men that maybe speak a little deeper, you know, like try to give on the big. So it made me laugh because I'm like, now I know what you said.
No, that is because that is absolutely a thing. Like with men who have a low voice, that is kind of automatically seen as, well, just the epitome of sexy. I mean, Barry White is, of course, a go-to for a sexy voice, and it's obvious. But I would say you could put more value into what you say and how you say it. It's just working with what you've got. Don't worry too much. Like, my voice is just kind of meh.
Yeah,
you can work with it if you really if you put the effort in. You can work with it.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. And that's tonality. my only thing, on that note to go with, because I did mention tonality, everybody has their normal speaking voice. So I'm just saying tonality of making it quieter and more intense, or making it more aggressive and growly, you know, more intense. Everybody will notice those inflections. Don't think you have to talk like mimic somebody else's tone. You have your own little range of voice. So definitely don't do that. And don't try to do, if you're seriously doing dirty talk, don't try to do accents. Don't.
Oh no.
Don't.
No, like don't try to mimic someone else's range, because because trying to work within someone else's range, that's just pretty much, well, never gonna work out.
No.
And accents, especially if it's not something you're familiar with, don't.
You're like, just
don't. No, it's one of those things that is just kind of transparently awful.
Well, when you're in the moment, you can't stay consistent. Like, you just can't, especially when your breathing's not going to be level and things like that. It's going to change. And then the accent will get all funky, and you'll go from, like, you know, maybe you were doing like,
I mean, you did have me turned on with a Transylvanian accent, but now it's just like nothing.
Yeah, now you've gone from Transylvanian to Australian. Both sexy accents. But the switchover would really hurt somebody's mind. Really whiplash of accents going on. So.
Oh, God. Can you imagine Australian Dracula?
Oh, God. Oh, please, no. Please, no. Let's not.
I want to suck your blood, mate.
Oh, gosh. No. That said, what else about foreplay? We've mentioned there's 8 million ways that you can foreplay. We've mentioned you can use music, you can do the whole candle thing, you can simply just, when you're out in public, it's putting forth, you know, maybe not openly, but putting forth the intents, you know, with little touches, little glances, maybe little phrases.
Hints.
Yeah, there you go. Hint at things. That's a mode of foreplay, because it does get you excited, and things like that. And we've just talked about, you know, you could be as simple as just at home, you know, little playful flirting, cuddling, pillow talk, you know, and stuff. Of the other things.
Texting. Oh, go
ahead. Texting. Yes, that's one. This age of technology. Texting, sexting, and sending provocative selfies via messages are very big. And that's my thing. When I took the poll, it was very low on the list. What people said, you know, they considered a good mode of foreplay. Because for me, I love sexting, or like RP, like texting, you know, out scenes or something like that. I'm all about that life because it's exciting to me. But I think
the reason it might be a bit low on some people's lists is because it can feel kind of impersonal. Like you're not, like all the other means of foreplay, it's you and the other person. But sexting, I can imagine can feel a bit impersonal to some people. But that's just that's a random thought.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. I don't think it. I mean, yeah. It's maybe a stray thought that you had, but it's not without warrant, though, because it can be impersonal. I mean, you're looking at a screen at the end of the day. I mean, yeah, the pictures might help and things like that, but it's for some people, I think. And for some people, it's not their thing. Some people need the touch. They need the in-person interaction to actually, you know, get in the mood, if that makes sense.
I think sexting works best for people who really enjoy the anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like imagine you're at work and then your spouse sends you something sexy and your first thought's probably going like, I wish I was there right now. But then you have to wait until you get off work and then there your spouse keeps teasing you and then just that anticipation to just finally do what you've been wanting to do all day. I can see how that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's my thing. I think I like the slow burn tease, which is so funny because I do not like Jean. I do not like denial, but I am all about like the all day slow burn tease, you know, and stuff where it builds more and more, you know, the closer, you know, you are to like meeting or, you know, if it's like the end of your work day or I know long distance relationships are a big thing nowadays or online relationships. Hell, even some hookups in hookup culture, sometimes they will sext, you know, like, hey, you want to meet up for Friday for like, let's have some sex. Oh yeah, sure. Great. And then like maybe on the days between them, they do some like sexting to like excite themselves. You know, some do, not everybody, but you know, it can be a whole thing. I think I am so like sapiosexual and I love writing and love erotica. I actually prefer reading erotica to visual porn and stuff like that. So I guess to me, it's just like really in my wheelhouse to enjoy the sexting and the text-based RP stuff. So that's my thing. But good on you for bringing it up because it's very prevalent today.
Like we said, you know, especially the workplace selfies, or even just in general, sexy selfies. If you go on some of the Gone Wild subs or its sibling subs, so to speak, there's a surprising amount of women who take these pictures like at work, you know, like. Or on break in the lunchroom or in the bathroom, just sneaking off somewhere in a, generally speaking, decidedly unsexy place to take those pictures. I find it interesting.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and it's the same thing. Like, even from, I'm a bisexual, so really it works for either men or women, but it's kind of like naughty. It's interesting. It's appealing that they sneak off or take these provocative photos. I know it's been the other side of the coin where I've been at work and the partner's been home and literally could do anything that they wanted to do. And they decided to spend their time rallying me up, you know, by teasing and flirting and sending provocative pictures just enough to keep me interested and keep my focus on them when I should be focused on work.
the payoff for that is going to be worth it.
Yeah, it's true. It really is. At the end of the day, it's very worth it. It makes for some steamy stuff is all I've got to say. The other thing I had a thought about, just about a different.
Talking about all these sexy stuff got you distracted, didn't it?
Yeah. So all this talk about sexy stuff, oddly, I'm distracted. Never happened before in my life. I'm completely professional at all times.
Yes, quite.
Quite, yes.
Yes, quite professional.
So this is also something too. Maybe it's just me. I'm just throwing it out there because I don't think we've gone this whole episode. Damn it. I almost made it to the whole end of the episode without it being a thing, but I'm going to reel it back. I love like cooking a meal together as foreplay for like later. Like, I don't know if that makes sense for like after dinner. I don't know if that makes sense. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe that's just flirting. Maybe that's not really foreplay. No, it works. It gets me in the mood. It can work
if you, like, I... Oh, God, story time.
Oh, all right. Woo!
I was with this girl once, and, well, to make a long story very short, turns out that cuddling was, like, her big form of foreplay.
Okay.
So we were there on the couch, just cuddling, and our first thought was like, is something going wrong? Because she seems like she's getting noticeably more uncomfortable as things went on. And it was just like this whole time of just like, what do I ask? Or am I doing something wrong? Like, is she not, why is she not saying anything? And then just like,
yeah, why is she, oh no.
So anything could be foreplay to some people. And if cooking a meal is foreplay for you, then you know what, you do you.
And I guess that's my thing. Like, I want, like, that's why I said maybe it's just flirting, because to me, food is such a sensual experience to me. And I say sensual, I don't mean it's always sexual for me, but let me tell you, if I like, it sensually touches like every part of me. So it's just too much. I'm going to get all worked up just talking about food. So this is how important it is.
So don't talk about cucumbers now then.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Right. Don't talk about anything phallic on top of everything else. Because it's just like taste and touch and smelling. It's just all these primal, visceral things that your body experiences much like sex. And so to me, you know, sitting on the counter or cooking and him leaning on the counter or my girlfriend sitting on the counter and like you're taste testing together. There's a little heat in the kitchen. There's all these aromas. To me, it can be like a very sensual thing. And if they finger, you know, feed you like a little morsel with their fingers and you happen to like lick their fingers, like it becomes like a sensual thing, kind of like a buildup. That said,
I mean, let's not forget the classic whipped cream.
The whipped cream, yeah. Like that said, though, like I guess I am so much of a foodie that when the food is ready, I'm ready to eat. So like, so unless it's something we stick in the oven that's going to be in there for like 20 or 30 minutes, there's a pause button when the meal is ready. And then after the meal is done, maybe with dessert, we pick it back up or something. Like, I don't know. Like, that's why I said maybe it's not really foreplay if I put a pause on it. But no, I think good foreplay is something that you start and that you, when you have sex later, you can pick it back up and recall it. Or that's my opinion. So it's kind of like a preamble for what happens later. So you could pause it. I'm going to give you all permission to pause. That's what I'm doing. This is my show. You all have that permission now. Pause your foreplay if you need to whatever you got to do. Eating is important.
Especially if there's food involved.
I'm going to be like totally honest. Yeah, essentially, if there's food involved, that is the best time to pause. It really is. Like, I can tell you, like, I have no shame. Like, even in candy shops, if they're like, would you like a sample? And I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, sure. Okay. You know? And then, like, I take a bite and I'm like, oh, so good. And, like, the candy strippers will be looking at me like, what?
Go You're not getting aroused in the candy shop, are you?
Sometimes. Like the last one I went into, oh gosh, it was a sin. The whole shop was a sin. And I went into and it was done up like this really old school shop, but also like contemporary, very clean, modernized. It kind of was like a mesh of both. And the workers there were like in candy stripe, you know, like the little straw hats. The vests, you know, the white, like looked very clean and proper. And then, okay. So the guy that was behind the counter with the truffles and the macarons and the cake pops, all that stuff, giving out the samples. They were so smart putting him where they put him. He was a complete temptation all on his own. He looked all clean cut. He had great hair, you know, looked all cleaned up. And then he had tattoos peeking out from different parts of his outfit, which is a whole aesthetic I'm 100% behind. And yeah, like tattoos, like when they look very clean cut or like in their tailored suits, like they look very clean or like very like, you know, next door. But then you have like all these tattoos creeping out from underneath their clothes where you're like, oh, you're secretly a ruffian. That's like the aesthetic, you know? So like he had like a high collar buttoned up, you know, because he's in the old school outfit. but it like you could see like part of a tattoo peeking out of his neck, and he had tattoos on his hands, and I was just like, oof. And then he's like, oh, would you like to sample some truffles? And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. And then like I take like a truffle and I'm like, oh, okay, good. And he's like watching me, and then he's just like, oh, would you like to try this one maybe? And I'm like, okay, I mean, you know, I don't want to get you in trouble or anything for sampling more than one, you know, like it just became like this whole thing. And I mean, legitimately, straight up, if he'd have taken me to the back room in the candy shop, it would have been a porno. So, I mean, but
can I just point out that we are recording on a fairly tame subject, and all of a sudden we're talking about you getting turned on in a shop.
You can point it out. It happens. Okay. Everybody has their buttons. That's the whole point. Bringing it back to foreplay. Listen, everybody has their own flavor. Obviously, if you're ever my future partners, if you're out there listening, take me to a candy shop. That's how I'm going to know. Like if I have a blind date and they're like, oh, I thought we could go to a candy shop. And I'd be like, do you know who I am online? Because that's a little too niche.
It's a little too specific.
It's a very, very specific. Oh, you kind of look like a candy striper too, now that I look at your outfit more closely. Oh gosh. Like I said, I'm doxing myself all over the place this season. But it's so true. Yeah, like everybody's got their own flavor stuff. So when it comes to foreplay, just closing messages. When it comes to foreplay, just have fun with it. Don't be afraid. Like, and because it's all about just enhancing, like it's only adding to the sex. It's never going to make, like, in my opinion, like you said, I don't really think there are cons to foreplay in the sense that it's all just to add to intensifying, you know, or romanticizing, or like just enhancing any pleasure that you're going to feel when you actually get to the down and dirty, like, you know, whatever. Yeah.
And nobody's ever going to say that better sex is a bad thing.
Yeah, better sex is not a bad thing at all. And I think most people are looking for better sex. You can be perfectly happy and content with your sex life, and you could still want, like, better sex is always great. You know, there's enough of, you know, mundane things out there, or just, you know, everybody wants something more exciting. So definitely consider foreplay. Definitely. And if you guys want to, I mean, we didn't really say in it, we're not going to really hit on it because, you know, we talked about texting, we talked about so many different things, but, you know, audio stuff out there, there's a lot of stuff out there too. Listen to, you know, or watch pornography together. I know a lot of people don't think about that as foreplay either, but in engaging in a, you know, like a viewing party, I guess, a viewing party of pornography or a listening session. I know that I do have couples that are listeners, that they'll listen to my audios or collabs that I've been in, or, you know, things like that. They'll listen to those together to kind of get them in the mood, and it'll excite them, you know, so consider those as well.
As an added bonus, either through audio or just regular visual porn, it's also a great opportunity to really communicate to each other what you're into.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no. And that's a great thing too and stuff. And you can kind of, and if it will, like you said, it gives you a chance to kind of open dialogue too. Even if the intent is not all your foreplay, it can definitely help you to open dialogue about things that you're into. Like, hey, I wanted us to watch this thing or listen to this audio. And it maybe in it is like tying or blindfolded or outdoor sex or you know, or whatever it is, like foot fetish. I don't, like, I'm just throwing things out there. There's so many different audios out there. There's just so many different ones out there. But if you're into something and you kind of want to open the dialogue with your partner about it, audios is a great way, or visual porn, because you can see it and you can hear it and you can hear the appeal and see it in a different way and kind of talk about it and stuff.
Yeah, if you're just talking about it, then especially some people, and I commend them, some people can just really nail perfectly well what a certain kink does for them. Mm-hmm. Why they like a certain kink. Some people can just 100% put that into words, and I admire that. But sometimes, especially if you're someone who doesn't quite know how to put that into words, a viewing slash listening party for something from your favorite can absolutely be beneficiary, because you don't have to. You don't have to stumble over botched explanations and such. You can just show them.
Yeah, just show them. Yeah, and that's my thing. When I've talked before about, you know, revealing your kinks or sharing your kinks with somebody, it was almost a no-brainer when somebody said visual aids. And I'm like, that is so true. Like, you know, because when you talk to somebody and you mention something like a kink, in their head, they're probably flashing through any images they've ever seen, anything they've ever heard, good or bad, you know. And so if you actually give them physically something to see or something to listen to, that is appealing to you about the kink, it helps illustrate it so much more. It eliminates all this ground for interpretation, you know, while opening the communication waves there. So definitely, definitely a good thing. So it can be foreplay, and it can double as a way to communicate what you're into even more. So you can work on exploring those things more with your partner for future.
Who knows? Maybe you too can find someone who's turned on by candy shops.
Yes. Dang it. Yes. I hope I get all this fan. Like, hey. And I will probably not turn them down because it's candy. So
just be prepared for some horrible candy related innuendo.
Probably. I'm just gonna start hearing candy stuff, and I'm gonna go, what the hell? And I'm gonna like, oh great. Never mind. I did it to myself. Oh gosh. Well, anyways, that is the episode. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week. We're going to have a very fun episode on a very big topic in kink and stuff. People often reference and talk about dominance and submission. So next week, we're going to talk about dominance, and we're going to see if we can unlock some things about dominance and what you should look for and what you should avoid and just what it means to be a dominant. So tune in. Until then, you know where to find me. You can find my guest, Dutch Dude Kinks, on Reddit. I'll link you guys up as always. He's a gem, and he's very patient and sweet for being on my show a few times already. I hope it was fun and you enjoyed listening.
Certainly was.
Good, good. And I will see you guys next episode. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.